Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Kuf Beit, and we're holding on the last two words on Kuf Aleph Amud Beit, which is Omar Rava. That's where we were up to. So we've been speaking about it. I would have liked to finish this little piece yesterday, but what can you do? So this we were talking about yesterday, and the truth is I got away with murder, because we read it as Omar Rava, but it really is supposed to say the Omar Rava, as the Bach points out. So we really should have said this yesterday, but again. So the Omar Rava, we were talking about the idea over there of a Dayanim, the three Dinim of what Rava said over there. One of them was talking about the issue of requiring five, and we were talking about the Presume Milsa. But meanwhile, we saw that there was a problem with a Beit Din Shel Gerim, and we had the beautiful story of Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who was a ger, and he refused to even join in terms of Presume Milsa. So today we continue, V'Omar Rava. This whole halacha is a din specifically in terms of this issue of Chalitza and Dinei Nefasha, this is the way Rashi learns. But a ger can be done at chaverot dvar Torah. Shemar som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem lokecha bo. Mikerav achecha tasim alecha melech. So the whole halacha that we have of the issue, bichlal, in which a person has to be roi for sima. Where do we get this idea? That remember, when it comes to making a king, over there the Torah is makpid that it has to be mikerav achecha. But over there, we learn out som tasim, any sima at all. So that would mean any position of authority that would include, especially when we're talking about over here, dayanut. So dayanut, since it says melech bamishpat yamid aret, so it means that that is part of what we see as malchut, and that is justice. So over there, the Torah is saying specifically mikerav achecha, it should be from those who were born as achecha. Those are the ones you should make for a king. But that's only tasim alecha melech. But if we're talking about over here, a bezdin that is going to be dealing with a ger, so then we don't have this din that has to be mikerav achecha. Avo ger dan et chaveiro ger. There would be no problem in his being a dayan. The only problem would be in his being a melech over Yisrael, or Dayan over Yisrael. Now, there's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here, which appears in many places. According to Rashi, what we're talking about is a limitation on Dinei Nefashot, but not on Dinei Momonot. And according to Tosafot, it's even a question Lagabe Dinei Momonos over Yisrael. V'im hayta imo Yisrael, dan afilo Yisrael. But once he's born with his mother being a Yisrael, so he's born into Yisrael originally, there he is able even to be Dan Yisrael. However, when it comes for Malchus over there, there's a question of your Ben Harishonim, whether you need both parents to be Jewish. It's enough to have only a father even who's a Jew. Okay, again, all of these issues were really part of the previous parak. What is the din legabe the halachas of defining Yisrael and Bi Yisrael and Betoch Yisrael and so on? So there are different dargas, and this meanwhile will continue here in our sugya. The inyan chalitza, if we're talking about for chalitza, then we have a special halacha, because over there it doesn't say tasim alecha. Over there it says the idea of Bi Yisrael, and Bi Yisrael means completely surrounded, so to speak. So in other words, there is no element of non-Yisrael. And of course, this was part of the whole idea that we saw of Yibum and Chalitza, the deep relationship to the whole concept of continuing the entire process of Yisrael from Avram Avinu, Zaracha Acharecha, and so on. And so because of that, we require over there, both father and mother should be born into Yisrael. So continuing along, which is rather remarkable, because you'll note over here, of course, the interrelationship of the dinim of Melech to the dinim of Chalitza Yibum, which is how the whole Malchus develops in the first place. So we've seen this theme very, very often throughout our Masechet. Anyway, continuing on. So getting back now, so that's why I say I would have liked to finish yesterday, because this is really part of the previous sugya about the issue of Ger. So continuing now in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, if you use it, differentiates between a min'al and a sandal. Now, this is a little bit strange because there are no such words in the Torah. The word min'al is a recent word. When I say recent, I mean that the Gemara uses it, but it does not appear in the Torah. The Torah uses the word na'al. Na'al, of course, comes from locking up. Something which covers over your foot, protects it, and it keeps it enclosed. So now the question is, this idea of the difference between a min'al and a sandal does not really make any sense in terms of the Diorita. As we introduced yesterday, Baruch Avraham, as we introduced yesterday, there is an issue. This is the problem of Zoom, you know. You see, this is a guy who risks his life. Look at that. He puts his face on the camera. He doesn't sit around hiding behind big trademarks and stuff like that. No, sir. Okay. Even Richie is, look at this. Look at this. My gosh. And he's even got Doc right up there on a diagonal. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So continuing on, so it doesn't make sense, midiraisa, to make these differences between types of shoes. What does make sense, midiraisa, is that it needs to lock up your foot. By the way, I posted a PDF yesterday so that you can see, like, the unbelievable, the UK. These Jews are really nuts. So, like, the Torah says, and now, you know. And now we've got every possible shita of what would be the lechatchila of every way that you could think of a now and think of a chalutz and make it possible to use your right hand without using your left hand because the Yerushalmi says you should use your right hand. I mean, it's like unbelievable diukim over here. And it's, what's very interesting is that there used to be a special shop next to, this was Bornstein's, the shoemaker in Beis Yisrael, where right next to the Shtiblach, he was a shoemaker, but he was an expert in Na'alei Chalitza. So anybody who wanted a special Chalitza shoe would send away to the international Bornsteins. They didn't quite sell this on Amazon in those days, but it's amazing things. This is like an expertise in how to be Yotze every possible Shita. But of course, what that means is that every community across the ages had their own type of Chalitza shoe because some were more makbid on this and some had a better way of doing it and so on. So one of the big Judaica things that are auctioned, if you take a look at the Judaica auction, are older, ancient chalitza shoes. You know, so you can buy a chalitza shoe that was used in Iran and a chalitza shoe that was used in Morocco and so on. So if you're into that kind of collection, you want to trade in your stamps and your marbles for chalitza shoes, now's the time to do it before the market is totally out of reach. So anyway, so continuing on, so what we have over here is this halacha in the Mishnah that there's this difference. And we're going to see, we already talked about yesterday, that there's a gezeira. And the gezeira is like this. If you're talking about what we recently, again, at the time of the Gemara, we're calling recently, what we recently call a min'al, as opposed to a sandal. The main difference is this, that the min'al is made out of soft leather. And because of that, as we know, if your shoe is untied, let's say, right, you can still wear it. But if your sandal is untied, it's going to stay on your foot. So because of that, a merupad, the idea over here of a shoe that is torn in some way, because it's soft, it's still able to be walked in. Masha inkein, the din of chalitza, which requires you to loosen the shoe and to pull it off, over there you might not be able to be mekayim with it because it isn't really in al-chatachash, as the pasuk says, I will wrap you in tachash skin, meaning you'll be nice and locked in. So if you're not locked in, then how are you doing a chalitza? Because you're already, chalitza means to allow you out. So we're machlitz you, we take you out of your locks. You'll notice, and Rashi talks this out, barzel nechoshet min alecha. So over there, we're not talking about shoes. Over there, we're talking about the border of Eretz Yisrael. Min alecha, meaning the locks, the shvatim that lock up Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it's referring to. So a na'al has a sort of broad meaning. And in the Torah, there is a concept of min'al, but it's not a shoe. It's a lock that's on a door. In any event, because of this, we have our Gezerah. But it's not that we believe that Midiraisa, you wouldn't be able to use these shoes. So Rabbah said like this, Omar Rabbah, Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Rab. Let me tell you something. If Eliyahu HaNavi would come along and he would say that you should do chalitza with a min'al, with a shoe. Okay, so that would not be a problem. Because even though we have a Gezerah that we're worried about it, if Eliyahu would come and he would say, let's be mevatel that takana, because it's no longer nogea, whatever. If it best in that is godel, is mevatel a takana, we can listen to that. And we can say that if it's not nogea anymore, it's not nogea, fine. Then I would listen to it. But if he would say, you cannot use a sandal for chalitza, I wouldn't listen to him. Why? This is a very important halacha that the Rambam paskins, pasha halacha lamaisa. Can a bezdin be mevatel a takona? Yes, absolutely. If it's a bezdin, that's godol, and there's a reason to mevatel a takona, they can be mevatel a takona. But can they be mevatel a takona that resulted in a minhag in which everybody is doing it, and now you're changing the way people are going to perceive the halacha, and that you can't do. Because shekvar nahagu ha'am besandal. So since people are used to bedavka doing this chalitza with a sandal where there's no way that it could be merupat and still stick on your shoe, so then even if Eliyahu is mechadesh, well, you know, there's a problem, whatever he comes up with, I don't know, but we would not make that Gezerah, because it would be against the way that Yisrael has been doing it for all of these years. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rab, but Rabbah, that's how Rabbah learned that what Rav said. But Rav Yosef said, no. What Rav Kahana, Amar Rab said is very importantly different. And the way that he put it is, Im Yavo Elio V'yomar Ein Cholzin B'min Al, Shomin Lo. If Eliyahu would come and say, you're not allowed to do chalitza with a minal. There's not a minag, but dafka to use a minal for chalitza. We use a minal, b'diavad. So if he would say, no, you can't do that, fine. We would believe him. But if he would say, ein chotzin b'sandal, ein shomin lo shekvar nogo am b'sandal. The second part is the same, but the first part is very different. Because what would be the difference of halacha? Very clearly. In other words, both of them are saying the same thing, b'nogea chalitza, that you can't listen to a change in minhag from a later bezdin. But there's a big difference in how you phrase the minhag. Because according to the way Rava was saying it originally, we would listen to him if he said, use him in al. And according to Rabbi Yosef, we would listen to him if he answered the use. So then that would mean that the difference is poshut like this. According to Rabbah, what we would say, Ika bin al min al l'chatchila, since Rabbah says, if he would say we can use a min al, I would listen. Mashma, that we don't allow you to use a min al l'chatchila. If Eliyahu would say, no, there's no problem, we don't have to worry about a min al merupat nowadays, whatever he would say, that doesn't happen nowadays. So over there, I would accept it. And that would be okay. So I would listen to him if he would tell me it's okay, but I'm not going to do it until he tells me it's okay. Mashma, that I wouldn't use it. Rav Yosef says, I would listen to him if he says don't use it, means that according to him, we do use it. Until Eliyahu comes, we're still using it. If Eliyahu would come and say not to use it, we wouldn't use it. So that would mean that there's a machlokus over here about whether we would use a min al lechatchila or not. So now, according to Rabbi Yosef, who says that even lechatchila, until Eliyahu says otherwise, we would use it, how does he understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah makes it very clear that the min al is only b'diavad, because it says chotza b'min al chalitza takshera mashma b'diavad in. But lechatchila lo, isn't that the whole point? No, says the Gemara, not. He understands the Mishnah is like this, that the truth is afilu l'chatchila. So why does it say kosher? Mashma only if he did it. Because since in the Sefer, the Tana wanted to say this business about the kippi shoes or socks, and an anpilia chalitza tapsula, Because that's not considered to be a na'al at all, minat Torah, because it doesn't really protect your foot. And over there, it's psula, even b'diavad, it's psula. So because of that, it says kosher in the ratio, but it doesn't mean to say only if you did it b'diavad. According to Rabbi Yosef, even l'chatchila, you'd be allowed to use it. Now, it turns out that this machlokas between how to understand Rav according to Rabbah or how to understand Rav according to Rabbi Yosef, which turns out to be a halacha l'maisa question about whether there is an iser l'chatchila because of gzeira, don't use a soft shoe because of the problem of anal merupat. And if the shoe is not going to be really strongly on your foot, you might still wear it because, like people often do, you know, they'll wear a shoe, they'll stick their foot in the shoe and walk across the wall. Meanwhile, while they're killing the shoe, you know, and standing on the back part of the shoe or whatever. Okay, you know. So because of that, we make Gzera, don't use that for Chalitza, because what if it doesn't really stick on your foot properly, and then she's not being Choletz. So that Machlokas turns out to be actually a Machlokat Tanaim. The Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi. Once upon a time, I took a trip to Nitzivim. Now, we know Nitzivim was the place of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. You remember the whole Gemara in Pesachim that we had, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, like he made sure that goy would get his head handed to him next time he went to the Beis HaMikdash and he wanted to eat from the Korban Pesach. So he put a little trap there, you know. And he said, oh, you know, they don't give you the good parts. then he exposed himself as being a goy. So anyway, so what happened over here is that Rabbi Yossi said, I once went to the place where Rabbi Yehuda, not in his lifetime, but where Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira had died recently. And I went there and I found an old man there. And I said to him, Klumata Bakiba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, like, do you know anything about Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and his shitas? And he said to me, yes, absolutely. Actually, Al Shulchani Hu Tadir, he always used to eat at my table, which is very unlikely. So the Yerushalmi's gear says, Tosis Springs over here is, I was a banker and he banked at my bank. That's the Pshat Shulchani. Not that he would eat at my table. That makes a lot more sense. I mean, although to have Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira sitting across you at the counter of your bank is not bad, you know. So anyway, that's pretty amazing. So yes, so I know him. Ah, okay. So I asked him, let me ask you something. Did you ever see him do chalitza? Oh, plenty of time, sure. You know, they didn't have concerts, but they did have chalitza ceremonies. So I used to go to the chalitza, you know. Yeah, I saw many times. So, ra'iti shchalatz harbei pa'amim. So I asked him, so what did he use for chalitza? Martilo, did he use a min'al or a sandal? So the guy was shocked. He said to me, what? You can use a min'al for chalitza? So, I mean, he was like totally it. He thought it was b'chalal, usher. This next piece, Rashi and Tosis both take out. HaTorah amra na'alo velo min'alo, as Rashi points out what we said before. That's ridiculous because there is no word min'al in the Torah for a shoe. The word min'al appears, but not as meaning a shoe. So that whole piece they take out. Amartilo. I mean, I don't know. What are you asking? Can we do with a min'al? I mean, you don't know that according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir lomar, that chaltza b'min'al chalitzitak sheira. I mean, it obviously can't mean that it's possible. Not only that, Rabbi Yaakov quoted Rabbi Meir as saying you can do chalitz even l'chatchila. So anyway, so we see over here that there's gufa, a machlokas here in the Tanakama and Rabbi Yaakov about whether the din of chalitz b'minal is also l'chatchila or even muta l'chatchila, which is the discussion that we just had in how to understand Rav Kahana Amar Rav. Anyway, what would be the basis of all of this? I mean, we've taken it for granted, but we never really discussed it. So, Mandi Omer L'chatchila Lo, what exactly is the problem with using a min'al for chalitza? I mean, is it because of the fact that the Havipanta Me'al and the Arkita is Me'al de Me'al? Is it because of the fact that the shoe's upper is actually considered to be, and you'll notice most shoes have a tongue, right? And now, so that means that the foot is essentially covered by a tongue. You pull over the sides, and then you have shoelaces or some type of closure device, right? The problem is that the Torah said you have to take it off. She has to take it off, me'al raglo. And if she does it this way, then it turns out that what she is loosening is going to be not me'al raglo, but it will be me'al, because underneath you have the shoe. And then on top of the shoe, you added shoelaces. But lamaisa, the foot is now surrounded by two things. It's surrounded by the shoe with the sides that come across. And then on top of that, you have this additional thing. But taking apart the additional thing is not called chalitza, because the Torah said it has to be from off his foot. You didn't take it off his foot. You took it off his shoe. And then the shoe comes off easy, but that's not taking it off. So is that the reason that you think that maybe the panta, which is the upper of the shoe, is considered to be al raglo, and the arkata, which is the shoelaces or the straps, those are on top of the shoe? And the Torah said, no, you have to take it off me al raglo. You can't take it off me al de me al raglo. So then, if that's true, then why would it be a gzeira? It's not a gzeira. It should be possibly even b'diavad, right? You're saying that's the din, so then don't use a shoe. But what are we arguing about, whether it's a lechatchila b'diavad? Therefore, says the Gemara, you're right. The gezera is bishum min al mirupat. We're going to see later on, there's no real basis for the problem of the me'al de me'al in this sense. Because even if you were wearing two shoes, one on top of the other, and she would take off both shoes, you're still going to be yotze. So, I mean, that's not the issue over here. So the issue, therefore, is we're afraid that it's going to be a torn, broken kind of shoe, which, because it's soft leather anyway, you manage, it manages to stay on. Masha Inkein, if you lose the ritzua or anything that is meant to keep your foot in on a sandal, it's just going to fall off. How in the world are you going to wear a sandal? So because of that, maybe that's a gezerah, or you might actually use a small min'al that doesn't really cover your whole foot, which is like a chatzi min'al. We're going to see if it, well, we actually already discussed, if it covers rove of the regular, it would be kosher. On my Rav, so Rav says, you know, if I hadn't seen with my own eyes, my dear beloved uncle, and that's Rabchi, of course, as we've seen many times. So he loved chamite lechavive, if good old unk hadn't been seen by me, the chalatz besandal de itla shnitzin, ane lo havi chalitza el besandala de taya, the maharik tve. Look, I saw Rabbi Chia do a chalitza with a sandal that is held on with straps that you tighten. So, okay, he did that. I personally don't like it, because basically what we're talking about is that we want her to be able to loosen it. And when you're talking about straps, it's basically loose, right? It's not like a normal sandal at the time of the Gemara we were talking about, which is he's saying I would have only used an Arab-style sandal. An Arab-style sandal is much tighter. You put your foot through a closed piece that's not adjustable unless you, like, loosen the whole thing and you make it a little wider, lechatchila. But you force your foot in, because these guys do a lot, we call it taya. Taya is not just an Arab, but taya is a wandering Arab, and it's one of the nomads. Okay, so because of that, they had much tighter fitting sandalim, especially if you're walking through the desert and so on. So you can't afford to have it fall off. It's going to get stuck in the sand and fall off, so it fits tighter. Personally, that's the way I would have done it, because over there, I know that the chalitza is going to be done by her. But the way Rabbi Chia was doing it, I feel uncomfortable with, because Lamaisa, those straps are really loose and you adjust them, and she could pull it off maybe without even loosening a strap, which means that it wasn't really a na'alecha. So that I would have done, because that's mahadik tvei, that's tighter. And our type of sandal, it's true that it does have an adjustable strap. Afagav the ite kumrata, it has this knot that you can loosen and you can make it tighter. What I do, if you're going to be using it, is I would be katrinan be mitna, So even though you could say, okay, technically, so if she loosens the strap of a sandal, that should be enough. But you know what? We Jews are crazy. I want to make it really good. So if you look at the pictures that I posted on the PDF, I would add this long strap of leather so it goes all the way around his foot from both sides, and that way she has to release it. Now, here's where all the issues come from, where the Yerushalmi says she can only use her right hand to release the actual na'al, because it's always when it refers to a hand in the Torah, it's referring to the right hand, and at the same time, we need to have his foot on the ground. So with her left hand, she's supposed to be holding the foot down, and with the right hand alone, she's supposed to be able to untie it and to pull it off while she's pressing down on his foot. We'll see why it needs to be tight against the ground. In any event, so to make it clear that she is loosening the entire na'al, to take a look at that picture, you'll see the most astonishing sandal that you've ever seen, which it looks more like an army boot, where you've got this big thing that comes around from both sides, ties to the right. She can get her right hand to use it. Of course, she's a lefty. She needs a lefty chalitza shoe, because then her left hand is her right hand, so we'd have to tie it the other direction. I mean, this gets to be really, you know, a chalitza shoe for a lefty or righty, and what size. Anyway, so you could do a lot of business in this area. In any event, look at the pictures. You'll be blown away by the length of these straps that Rav was suggesting that we should add to it. And that way it'll be a better chalitza. Chalitza tam al yata. We're talking about better chumras for better chalitza. So anyway, speaking, I put the PDF on the daf page, didn't I? What? That's crazy. So where did I put it? Did I put it on the daf musings page? How did I forget it? Let me see. No PDF, huh? What about Duff Musing? Yeah, I put it on Duff Musings. Sorry. I'll move it over to the Duff group here. There you go. Post it. Enjoy. I think there's a special telephone to good old Bornstein's Chalitza shoe shop, but it only has 3 digits in the phone number, so it's probably old. Okay, so getting back to Rav, we were talking about the various issues of Rav. So here we have 3 different limudim that Rav gave. So because today we put a siman, it's a pretty easy siman. Hatarat Yavama Sandal. Of course, that's just the siman. So first of all, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hatarat Yavama Lashuk is Bishmitat Rov Ha'akev. At what point is the instant where the Yavama becomes muteret to marry another guy? That means that the Chalitz has actually been matir her. The Mahatara would be when she takes off the rove of the heel out of this sandal. So if she pulls the back down, there's this back, remember, on this sandal. So you have a picture of Rav Henkin's chalitza? Oh, wow. Nice. Very nice. Yeah, Rav Henkin was unbelievable. Yeah, mamish looks like tefillin. You know, by the way, speaking of it looks like tefillin, there's a very interesting halacha that actually is nogeya tefillin as well. The question is this. The Yavama is supposed to be saying these psukim, right? So can she say these psukim without washing her hand if she touches the chalitza shoe? Because, I mean, if you touch a shoe, you need to wash your hand, right? So this is nogeya when you're putting on your tefillin. So you're touching your arm in a place which is usually covered by your sleeve, and halacha is you're supposed to actually wash your hands if you touch a makom mechuseh. But then that would mean that you need to wash your hands after putting on your tefillin. So there's a whole big argument. Almost every, all the rabbanim paskin across the ages, that something that is being done as a mitzvah, that it's a bizoyan to the mitzvah to say that when you're handling this as a mitzvah, you need to wash your hands as if it's something that is dirty or tummy. But the issues also are, of course, that a chalitza shoe isn't really used to walk around in. So because of that, maybe it doesn't have a din of a shoe. And there's other issues. One of the other issues is that the Yavam's foot has to be clean, because it says me al raglo, and if he has any dirt on his foot, so then it would be a chatzitza, and his foot has to be in the shoe and not me al de me al, which would provide, which is the reason, by the way, you'll notice that all of the straps in these pictures, they don't have any black coloring on it, because we can't have it to be a chatzitza, and so on and so forth. And it's like, so you can see how all of these halakas get evolved over here. So that's a beautiful picture. Where'd you get that picture off the internet, Ravenkin? Very nice. So Ravenkin was very down to earth, but even he's into the chalitza shoot thing, you know? Okay, so anyway, so once you take off the rove of the akev alone, that's enough. So the problem is, says the Gemara, what do we do about the braita? The braita says that if the straps or the laces of the shoe were untied, not that she untied it, who true, they became untied, either on their own or maybe the Yavam did it himself, whatever. Or maybe the Yavam was Shamat Rova Regal. He had taken out most of his foot to make life easier on her, right? He was being polite. There the Chalitza is pasul because she has to do it. Now, the only reason that the chalitza is pasul over there is because he did it. But suppose she had done that, if she had taken out most of the regalis v'loshen, then it would have been a chalitza kashera. But then that implies that it's only if it's rov haregal, but not rov ha'akev, just the heel. How would the heel be enough? Says Gemara, no, you don't understand. Rov ha-regel is the equivalent of rov ha-akev. Why? Because if you analyze engineering, the engineering of the foot is that most of the weight is carried on the heel. Almost all of the body weight is basically on the heel. So the pressure per square inch on the heel is very high. On the rest of the foot is more balance rather than pressure. And therefore, we consider rov ha-regel Kula chayla dekara ale dochis. Here we have this lotion of dechisa. Again, we use this as the pressure in the modern engineering. So most of, or the entire pressure, meaning the support, is supported by the akev. And because of that, that's where we are talking about by regel. Misayel, Rabbi Yanai, this actually proves what Rabbi Yanai contended. The Om Rabbi Yanai. Bein shehitir hu, the braita that we just had, basically makes it very clear that whether the Yavam went ahead and he undid the straps and she took off the shoe, or if he, bein shehitira hi v'shamat hu, or she took off the straps and then he took off the shoe, chalitzata psula ad shetatir hi v'tashmit hi. We need her to be taking off the shoe. And that's why we have her pressing down as she's taking off, so that it should be actually considered to be removal, because over here the Gemara says it's because of rove of the, I understand your objections to this, but because it says that rove of the pressure of the foot, I mean, if his foot is not on the ground, so there's no pressure on the foot, so then it's considered to be that she's taking it off. So therefore, she's supposed to press down with her left hand, release with the right hand, and then pull it out from underneath, so that over there she's really taking it off his foot at the time that it's serving as a nal to the foot. So that way we have all of this complexity is now we understand where it's coming from. Okay, now we have various issues. What about if instead of taking the shoe off, she rips it to shreds? She's got a lot of resentment in there. Anyway, so she doesn't take it off. She tears it. So she never actually removed it from his foot. So the question is, what is the main din of chalitzas? The concept of chalitza, is it uncovering his foot, or is it the actual act of removal of a shoe? Now, if you think that is resentment, How about if she burns the shoe off his foot? That's the first, what do they call it? The hot foot, right? So, Sarafatu Mahu, what is the din of Chalitza? Is the din of Chalitza Giluye Kara Be'inan? Is it just that we want to expose a skin of the foot? Which question, Bechla, whether if he's, can he be wearing a sock? Also is an issue. So, does it mean exposing his foot? Or does it mean actual pulling off of a shoe? Which then it wouldn't be Yotze. If it just means exposing the foot, if you burn it off, so then it would be okay. Okay, those issues are really unclear. And how about if you're wearing two shoes, one on top of the other? What's the case? Did she take off the top shoe and leave the bottom shoe? I mean, so then, obviously, that's not kosher. I mean, the Torah said me'al raglo, and she didn't take it off me'al raglo. She only took off me'al de me'al. She took a me'al, and that's not good. No, that's not what we're asking. What we're asking is, what she did over here is she ripped a hole in the upper shoe, and she pulled the bottom one off normally. So she did the chalitz on the bottom one, but the problem was that the upper shoe is still there. So here I have the other question. What does chalitza mean? Chalitza means taking off the shoe. She did. She took off the shoe. Now the problem is that even though she took off the shoe, she did not uncover his foot. Is uncovering the foot part of the issue of the chalitza, or is it just the removal of the shoes? This is the same question in the inverse. Veleka asks the Gemara, there's such a thing as people wearing two shoes? Like, what does this mean? Now, Tosis points out, this you're considering to be a weird case? And a case where you stick two animals' rears to each other and one of them has a child and inserts the child into the other one's womb? This is normal, right? Like, the Gemara always takes insane cases. So what's wrong with this insane case? It can't be more insane than other cases that we've had. Very sweet kasha of Taisus, right? Because the whole idea of the Gemara is taking experimental things that will never happen. When did you ever see a mouse smoking 20 cigarettes a day? Okay. But the question over here, says Taisus, is not, obviously we're not asking that this experiment is nutty. That's not the point. The point is, says the Re, the question is that chalitza would have to be a derech of wearing something. That's why we're asking. If it isn't the derech to walk around like this, so how could we call it chaltza nalo if this is not a nal in terms of the way that people dress? So that is a real question. That's why we're asking. Well, people walk around with two shoes, that we should be able to call it a chalitza. That's weird. Says, well, oh, yes, indeed. We once saw a reviewer walking around with five pairs. You think some of these guys with 400 pairs of tzitzis or five Borsellinos, one on top of the other, is something, huh? He was walking around with five pairs of shoes. Now, Rav Yehuda was a tremendously istanis, and he was old, and if he would get chilled, he could catch pneumonia and die. So he would have to be very careful not to get his foot wet. So because he didn't have properly actual waterproof material, so he would wear five different layers of protection for his feet in order not to get wet. So you see that it is considered to be a derech of levisha. Omer, so chazina rabbanu Reb Yehuda, he would go out with chamisha zuzi muki. Muki are these hard but light type of shoes that are not going to make it impossible to have a lot of them, not like boots, to the shuk. Omer Reb Yehuda amarab. Yevama she'igdila bein achim. Now, let's consider an interesting case over here. Yevama, she's a little girl. She's married to one of the brothers in a family. So obviously, if we're talking about a kitana, and she grows up in the family, so she's like, basically, they look at her as, you know, one of the family. And all the other kids are there. And after her husband dies, she just stays with the family. Now, in that case, the problem is, that means that she's got a lot of, in her mind, brothers. Now, these are really yavamas, that she has yavams that are there, right? Because after her husband died, they're yavams. She's used to thinking of them as her brothers. Okay, so during the years that she stays in the family, you know, if one of the brothers asks, help me, could you help me take off the shoe? I can't get my shoe off. So then the question is, if she ever helped him got his shoe, and you remember when you were kids with your boots and so on, you're always asking your siblings, you know, ouch, I can't get this off, you know, or mommy comes and takes off your shoe. So do we have to be choshesh that if she would ever have taken off a shoe from any of the brothers, that then she would have ossered all of the brothers on her, so that if she was actually growing up in the house, that you can't do yibam, you're going to only do chalitza. Do we have to worry about that? So what's the din? Says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, a yavama that grew up in the family with the brothers of her dead husband, she is still allowed to get yibam through any of these brothers. And muteret li nasei le'echad min ha'achim, and we don't say that she maybe did chalitza. We don't have to worry about that problem. We don't have to worry about it. What if you did see? What if you actually saw her help her brother, in her mind, her kid brother, she's helping him with his shoe. So would she be puzzled if you did see that? Is that called a chalitza? Where she's just trying to take off his shoe? That's what it's mashma, that hachazinan chashinan. But didn't the Braita say, bein shinit kaveni hu, velo nitkavna hi, bein shinit kavna hi, velo nitkaven hu, chalitzata psula, ad shit kavnu shneim ke'echad. You need to have kavana for chalitza. It's a lot of discussion about what kind of kavana we're talking about over here. This is like classic achrena shered. Which is, you know, so is it because it's a din of a Kenyan? So she's kind of satsma, but chalitza, is it because of that? The kind of satsma has to have kavana for Kenyan. What? If she doesn't have kavana, she's not going to be yoytze. Does this mean kavana for the mitzvah? Like Rashi says, what is it? Mitzvah strichas kavana, what if you pass a mitzvah? And so on and so forth. But I mean, the pashtus of what's happening over here is that the meaning of chalitza is chalitza within the context, and that defines the act. It's not a question of whether it's kavana or mitzvah or not. Chalitza does not mean taking off a shoe. Chalitza means taking off a shoe with a kavana to indicate that I'm not interested in making my brother alive, and I want to show that you are killing your brother, and now you're an oval on your brother, whatever is involved. That's what chalitza means. I mean, in other words, it's absurd. So because she took off a shoe, that's considered to be the act of chalitza? That's crazy. What if she's a podiatrist? So if one of the brothers had come, she took off the shoe in order to take a corn off his foot, so you're telling me she did chalitza? That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that's what the Braisa says, that it's not considered to be chalitza. So why are you saying, well, if we saw it, you know, she wouldn't be able to get, why not? No, of course he didn't mean that. He meant it. We said it wrong. Even though we saw, that's what it means, even though we saw her through the years helping her kid brothers off, obviously they don't have to be her kid brothers, but helping them off with their shoes, Ein choshishin shema kivnu. We're not concerned that maybe while they were doing this, you know, they had kavana. Let's get away with using this as the chalitz. We're not worried about this. Ikari amre. Now, there's another way of asking the question and bringing the answer. Ikari amre. The only reason that Rav Yehuda said that we don't have to be chayish for chalitza is because we didn't see it. But if we had seen it and she actually took off her shoe, then we would be choshesh. What about the braita? The braita that says that you need kavana. That is that you need to know that there was kavana to be mekel on her, that she should be muteret. So over there, if we don't know 100% that they were both mechaven, she's not muteret to get married. They have to do chalitza again. But to be machmer on her, that maybe they were mechaven, that we would be machmer. And we would say, listen, you never know what people are thinking, so don't do yibum, do chalitza, just in case. That's different. She's still going to answer herself on yibum for the other brothers, because remember, we have two different results from an act of chalitza. One is the heter l'shuk, and the other is the isra on the brothers. So legabri the chumra of the isra on the brothers, we're marked it. Legabri the kula, the heter l'shuk, we need to know 100%. And then the third thing that Rabbi Yehuda said in B'Shem Rav is that if you used linen thread to sew this shoe up, now Rashi brings another lashon, which is very problematic. He brings both lashonas, that if you put an inner lining made out of linen, and all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, because we were matir a wooden shoe. The Gemara is going to come out that a wooden shoe means a leather-covered wooden shoe. So how could linen be worse than a leather? Okay, we'll discuss that when we get to the sugya of the linen. But Rashi himself is also, what we could be talking about over here, instead of using leather sinews as the actual thing that we're sewing the shoe with, note the, again, the similarity to tefillin, right? So, okay, so if we used pishtan to sew up the shoe, that it would be puzzle. Why? Because since the pasuk says, "Ve'en alech tochash," I will use dafka tochash for you. Tochash is a kind of animal, which again, really strange. But of course, this is what was used for the Mishkan, right? And that was also binogea. The Torah says Hashem beficha legabe tefillin, and does it have to be a kosher animal? And some of the Rishonim say, well, if it's tachash, it means you can only use a kosher animal for your chalitza shoes. And, you know, when you're ordering Bornstein's chalitza shoes, you know, make sure that you want to get the extra chumrah of the animal that was also a kosher shechita. So, I mean, you don't want to take any chances on this, right? So, of course, this points out, isn't there a little bit of a problem according to those shechitas that say that the tachash is extinct? Someone at the time, you can only use a tachash. Okay, so that means every chalitza also requires a time machine, which Bornstein provides you in his back room. But in any event, these are all kosher chalitza. But if you're using linen, then that's for sure no good. But wait, says the Gemara, maybe it means you can only use a tachash. You cannot use anything else. No, that I know isn't true. Because after all, it says na'al twice. Because it also says anur chalatz na'alo, but it also says beit chalutza na'al. So the double use of the na'al means you can even use other types of leather. But if you use, maybe na'al is riba everything. Why only different kinds of leather? Afilu kol mile nami. Why can't I use linen? Because in Cain, what is the meaning of analech tachash, which is obviously a remez in the Torah that we want it to be similar to a tachash, no? So therefore, it needs to be some kind of behema. Bo'amine ribalazami rab. Suppose the shoe is made out of regular ore, and the straps that we were talking about before, they are made out of animal hair. So tarsiotav shall say ar. Mahu. Let's take goat hair to make sure it's kosher when it's horse hair and get into the problem. But what if it's made out of hair? Have you never seen people playing the chalitza shoe? That's all right. That's beautiful strings for the chalitza shoe. So must you have actual straps? What's the problem? Milo karinan be the analech tachash? I mean, isn't animal hair also tachash? I mean, why does it say it has to be the skin of the tachash? Can it be the hair? So why wouldn't it be good? Well, and if that's so, maybe we can make the whole shoe. The whole chalitza shoe could be made out of hair. No? Should be kosher. Nobody said that. Everybody is actually going to insist that you need a shoe. That's because we call that kurka. We don't call that a shoe. It has a completely different idea. That's more like a taki, as Alon just pointed out. So that's your sportswear, but it's not a shoe. I'm a leader of Kahana Lashmuel.
Crown, by the way, was Harry Crown, the Jew. Not Bosman, it's Harry Crown in the book.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, but he's saying Bornstein's shoe shop. That's really Crown.
No, Bornstein's shoe shop is in next to the Stieblach. And it's a real place. No. Oh, forgot. I know, this is serious. This is a real shoe store next to the Stieblach in Beis Yisrael. And it was the world's leading supplier of chalitza shoes. No, this is serious stuff. Harry Crown, my gosh, with that size of a stomach, he wouldn't have room for a chalitza shoe. Anyway, here's the real problem. How do you know that chalitza even means taking a shoe off? What gives you that idea? Because, I mean, certainly, it's true. The Torah said, v'chaltsa na'alo mi'araglo, right? You're claiming that means mishlaf, pull the shoe off of his foot. Okay, why do you assume it means pull it off of his foot? Maybe it means put it on his foot. Because you know that in the sugya of nige batim, where it says over there you have to remove the avanim that have the nega, you have to pull them out of the wall. It says, v'chiltzu et avanim ashebem anega. So obviously we can use the word v'chiltzu for pulling out, which v'chiltzu nalo would mean to pull it off of his shoe, right? But remember that in Lashon HaKodesh, the concept, a word includes within it both implications very often of what that word could end up doing. So it could also mean preparation in the sense of getting ready to move. Because we find this, let's say, it's maybe it means ziruze. It means getting ready to move, which would mean putting on a shoe, like, hey, chaltsu mitchem anashim latzava. Get things ready. And what does it mean, the chalutzim? You think the chalutzim all got chalitza? Absolutely not. They were all the first ones to go, hey, chaltsu. So they got moving. Well, you don't get moving by taking off your shoe, for heaven's sakes. You get moving by putting on a shoe. So are we going to tell all those soldiers, take off your army boots? Or we're going to tell them, get those boots on and keep them moving? That's what we say. So maybe it means the same thing over here. Okay? Doesn't that make more sense? Well, no, because what it also means over there when it says get moving is move your rear end. In other words, we want to get you up. Shalufi mi beta lakrava. Get out of bed and go to battle. So that's also taking up it. Moving yourself. Well, I mean, what about the pasuk where it says, yechaletz ani ba'onyo? Which seems to mean that God will give additional strength and get the poor through their very difficult times. So over here would be the same thing, no? No. That pasuk also means we'll get the poor out of his problems, meaning bischar onyo, in exchange for the tsar that the oni had in his lifetime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get him out of any din shel ganim. So over there also means pull him out. Well, when it says Chone Malach Hashem Saviv L'Reyav Vayechal Atzeim, doesn't Vayechal Atzeim mean over there that he provides additional help? Not that he pulls them out. So Chalitza doesn't mean only taking something out. It could mean getting the shoe on so that he becomes more ready. No, means the same thing over there. Vayechal Atzeim means Bischar Yireyav. For the mitzvahs done by Yorei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mechaltzeh midin asher geinam. So when it says, va'atzmotecha yachalitz, right? We're always talking about, when it comes to Kiddush HaKodesh, we're talking about chilutz atzamot. What does chilutz atzamot mean? Pulling your bones out of your body. What is chilutz atzamot? Over here it says, atzmotecha yachalitz. Did you ever ask yourself what it would mean, chayim shel chilutz atzamot? That's a pretty weird kind of thing to say, isn't it? Obviously, it means to be stronger. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you support for your structure, your internal structures, to allow you to jump into things and have energy. Let me tell you, anybody who doesn't have that energy knows what it means when you say, I need to get moving, man. I can't move. Okay, so... And Rabbi Elazar says, oh man, that's the best bracha of all. Everything else they say, but you're walking around, you can barely move. But chilutz atzamot, that's the best bracha there is. So, okay, so then do chalitza by putting a shoe on the yavam, and that way he'll be able to jump around. Maybe you should even give him one of these modern shoes that have springs in the heel, a Nike that basically walks for you, a running shoe. I don't know, but maybe that's what shit means over here. And it means, Rava says, it means Zeruze Garmi. It means getting those bones moving. I want my old bones to start moving, like people say. Okay, so that's Chivutz Atzamot. Says the Gemara, of course it could mean that. Yes, agreed. The word chalitza could mean either approach. Mashmachi, mashmachi. But it's clear from the context here that it must mean removing a shoe. Why? Because hacha, in the case of chalitza, isa kataitach ziruzehu, then it should say chalitza da'alo biraglo. Why does it say chalitza na'alo me'al raglo? As much as she's taking the shoe off of the foot instead of saying put the shoe on his foot. That's why. It must mean over here taking it off. No, not necessarily. Because let's say it would have said v'chaltza na'alo biraglo. You know what I would have said? Only if you put the shoe on his foot. Suppose he doesn't have a foot. Suppose he's an amputee. And you put the shoe on his leg, bishoko. It wouldn't be kosher. Therefore, it had to write, remember, me'al raglo, to say that even the part of the body which is above the foot, which is the shok, is also considered to be kosher. Afilu b'shok, but it doesn't mean you have to take it off. It could mean you put it on. Me'al doesn't mean from off. It means from the area which is above. That's the point. No, because we could still say it. Lichtov Rachmana b'me'al raglo. Put the shoe b'me'al raglo. So that would be the equivalent of saying b'shoko. So since it says me'al raglo, it must mean taking it off. Anyway, Omar le'ahu mina l'Rabbi Gamliel. So this Christian guy says to Rabbi Gamliel, you know, the Jews are finished with God. He gave them chalitza. They were hoping that one day he would come back and give them yibum after the churba. But now he decided, me'ein yabmi, he doesn't want to have anything to do with them, because it says so in the pasuk. It says, dechtiv b'tzonam uvkaram yochul uvakeshet Hashem v'lo yimtzo. They will be searching for the Lord with all of their families, and they shall not find him. Why shall they not find him, saith the Lord? Because chalatz me'em. Ha! He gave them chalitza. So, okay, there you see that basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done with you guys, said Rabbi Gamliel to him, you idiot. Shota, does it say chalatz lahem? He says, what, he gave them chalitza? Who gives chalitza? The Yavam gives chalitza. Well, how does he give chalitza if she's doing the takeoff of the foot? Yeah, but that's the whole point. He's giving that over to be chaletz. Well, it doesn't say that. Let's say a Yavama would come along and she would say, I'm giving him chalitza, taking off my shoe from my foot. They would laugh. That's the point, you idiot Jews, where you think you're going to get away from God by taking off your shoes. Not so pushing. I shall never leave you alone. That's what it means. The exact opposite of what you're saying. Miktiv chalatz lahem, chalatz mehem. Let me ask you, Yavama, the chotzu mina achin. Let's say that the Yavama get chalitz from her by taking off her shoe. Midi mishashi isbe, that's going to be meaningful? That's ridiculous. And therefore, that's the same thing in our case.